translations to show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali. The Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering him one will be free from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. Now comes the bracket, something which Srila Prabhupada adds to this verse. In other words, Krishna acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pains of material existence. The Lord's activities of saving the devotees and killing the demons, take place side by side. Krishna actually appears for the deliverance of the sadhus or bhaktas, but by killing the demons, he shows them mercy also. For anyone killed by Krishna is liberated. Whether the Lord kills or gives protection, he is kind to both the demons and the devotees. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatari
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Let us please hear this verse again, because it is very beautiful, since it explains how the memory or the thought of Krishna is helping us in our Krishna consciousness. Translation: to show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali. That's really us. Because the Bhagavatam was written just at the beginning of the age of Kali. It was existing previously, but so it is described here that Krishna appeared to show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be free from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. And this is a verse where Srila Prabhupada is so inspired, because he meditates, oh, Krishna is so kind, he has acted so that simply by remembering we can become free from miseries. He adds in brackets, in klama, something which is not there in the Sanskrit. He adds something which is the meaning of this verse, which is there in a hidden form in the Sanskrit. He says, in other words, He acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pains of material existence. Here is the medicine for all conditioned souls who are born in the age of Kali. The medicine is that simply by remembering Krishna and not forgetting him, one can be relieved from the miseries which are natural for this age of Kali. The age of Kali, it is described, miseries become very strong. Miseries from the body, from the mind, from other circumstances which are not under our control, become very much increased in the age of Kali. But if we can remember Krishna somehow or other, we can become freed of this misery. In fact, the memory of Krishna, even at the time of death, is so powerful that we will be delivered, freed at that moment, even at that moment. I think you all remembered your own initiation, if you think of initiations which have taken place a few days ago, and we were all very charmed to hear these Krishna-related names, Radharani-related names. Do you know why we get spiritual names? It is first reason is that with initiation there is a new birth, and then and the devotee is now no longer a Maya Das but a Krishna Das. But there is also a second reason, which is very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada in one of the purports of the sixth canto. See, most of the times we can't really remember Krishna so well because we always remember us and our minds and our problems and our worldviews and so on and so forth. But at the moment of death, we also sometimes remember ourselves. I don't know what one remembers at the time of death. But if you have a spiritual name like Krishna Das or Govinda Devi Dasi or Govinda Mohini Devi Dasi, then you will remember all Krishna Das. You are dying now, but because you remember your spiritual name, you definitely remember Krishna also. I don't know if you know what I want to explain. I want to explain that the Acharyas, they want to bring us somehow or other to memorize Krishna, to think of Krishna. And even if we are such neophyte devotees and remain such new devotees, that we only think about ourselves. Because we have a name of Krishna, we indirectly think of Krishna even at the moment of death. This is why it is explained, somehow or other we should think of Krishna. Best is directly, but even indirectly we do. If you are surprised about sounds which come through the loudspeakers, it is my fan club from Russia. Sometimes hears and also comments on the lectures. But don't be disturbed, they are friendly guys. We don't know as of yet what it is, but if there's some rich grihastha amongst you, who wants to donate like a new amplification system for Goloka Dham, please do so without hesitation. Our project is in need of support. Good. So now I want to talk a little bit how we can think of Krishna during our lives in this life. I want to first of all ask you, how do you think of Krishna? If you remember the last days or weeks or the last years, what is easiest for you to think of Krishna? In what form? I know you are a little tired, so yeah, but there are some Bodhamas you have seen before.
It's a deity form which I like the most.
And the deity form which I like the most. Maybe know the secret which deity you like the most. Really?
Yeah.
Or because you have to say it?
No.
Radha Madhava. Yes. I think of Krishna in the way how he interferes in my life and makes arrangements. Oh, this was an arrangement of Krishna. I think of Krishna as my protector in difficult situations where Krishna comes and helps me. I'm sorry. Madhuri Manjari. You have to learn this now. Madhuri Manjari. Yes, I think of Krishna in the form of his holy name. When I sing it, sing his holy name, I can remember Krishna. Really? You think intensely of Krishna. Wonderful. Thank you, Jay. Only real answers. Yes. When I see how Krishna is changing my life, then I think of Krishna. Sometimes with tears in the eyes, sometimes with laughter. By verses, songs, and prayers, which I learned. When I see how Krishna changes people during Harinam, I think of Krishna. When I see his devotees and his pure devotees, then I remember Krishna. Many people do this. So they see us and they say, "Ah, Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna people say that." Jai Hare.
He's really genius, and Jaya is very jolly.
He is really jolly, he is an enjoyer, and he is a genius enjoyer, and he is the best dancer. This is how Jayadev thinks of Hare Krishna. It's very, very interesting. When I read something about Krishna, what inspires me very much. This is how I think of Krishna. Yes, we will have enough. When this further master talks about stories of Krishna, I remember Krishna as well. People who. Okay, Dev, we will come to a close. Yeah, Dev is taking care of cows in Radhadesh, and he thinks all the cows are dear to Krishna. How they are dear to Krishna. Cow has fallen. Through Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, which are related to our activities, I think of Krishna. when we meet someone who is love of Krishna, then you start to think of Krishna. Because Krishna just comes out of him. Vishakha. I didn't understand the last part. Krishna, you think how Krishna is in your heart. And he is fulfilling spiritual desire. Yes, I know Vishakha. This is what I heard afterwards. Wanted to be named Vishakha. And it was fulfilled by Krishna's mind. I did not know. I knew about one devotee who almost killed herself if she wouldn't have gotten her name. but I didn't know about you. When I get reactions and have the possibility to think about his mercy, I think there are many ways to think of Krishna. This is what we can, that we have heard. Please make your talk walk. That is, now you have stated how you think of Krishna. Try to apply this more in your life. In my life, in Krishna consciousness, I have gone through a certain progression of thinking of Krishna. I remember when I was not yet in Krishna consciousness, I remembered Krishna or God in a very in special circumstances. As a child, I would always pray to God, please make me pious. I'm so impious. Please make me pious so that I can go into the heaven and enjoy better there. This was as a child my prayer. Lieber Gott, mach mich fromm, dass ich in den Himmel komme. I was praying it without fail because I was such a temperamental child. Things happen which cannot go. So then when I was a little older, I prayed to him when I was in trouble, in real life. For instance, once I remember it was 12 o'clock and I looked at a movie about Frankenstein. And I was about 15 years old, and then everyone in the house was somewhere else, and I was all alone in a big house. And I remember I had to go into my sleeping room and I was all alone there. The whole night I woke up, I heard the knocking of the door of Frankenstein, who was going to get me, and finally it was enough. I became almost hysterically and I remember I bent down on my knees and prayed very seriously about it. My dear God, I'm now in a big trouble. I saw a movie and somehow it has created deep impressions in my young mind. I know there is no Frankenstein intellectually, but practically it doesn't work. Please help and move into my mind and purify the mind from foolishness. Then I prayed to the Lord like this, and he helped, and I became very faithful. I had given up my prayers, or my childhood prayers, but I was really in trouble because of this, because I'm so sensitive. And then Krishna kindly helped me. Then I began praying. My prayer became, if you are there, God, I believe you are there, because you have helped me at a difficult time. There was another more difficult time, which I don't want to tell because it's not so interesting for you. Where I really needed help, it was really serious. This was more, I'm told a little humorous story, but that was really a question of life and death for me, and I begged for an answer and so on. It's come. But then I prayed, my dear Lord, if I know so little about you, if you are really there, please arrange that I can meet someone who can tell me about you more. And a little later, after I prayed this prayer, and it came from the heart, I met the devotees, and I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books. I immediately recognized, when I read the Bhagavad Gita, that this is the answer to this prayer, that I should know more about you. And I was very happy, and soon joined the movement for Krishna consciousness, because I could see it was the direct answer of the Supreme Lord to my very humble and desperate prayers. Now, whilst in the movement for Krishna consciousness, I often heard Prabhupada instructing that we should remember Krishna, and there were many progressive states of thinking of Krishna which I personally underwent. Today I want to explain a little bit about this in a philosophical way. See, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and more. When an outsider asks us, who is Krishna? The best answer to give is from the first shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is very beautifully and very convincingly explained as Janmadyasya Kataha, the origin of everything. This is also how the celebrated hymn about Krishna starts. Ishvara Parama Krishna, he's the supreme controller. Ishvara Sarva Krishna Parama Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vigraha, he is a form of bliss, knowledge, and eternal existence. Anadir Adi Govinda, he has no origin, but Sarva Karana Karana, he is the origin of everyone else and everything else. When someone asks you, what is your concept of God, you can best answer, he is the origin of everyone and of everything. Everything comes from him. Also this world comes from him. This is the first understanding which we hear about God. A second understanding, which is more private and more detailed, is that of Krishna, who performs wonderful loving pastimes, who are transcendental to this world. And I want to talk now a little bit on these two aspects of God. One, which describes his majesty and his opulence, is called the Aishwarya aspect. Aishwarya means richness, opulence. And the other, which describes about the private activities of Krishna, is called the Madhurya aspect. A person in the movement for Krishna consciousness must know both of these aspects. If he just knows the Aishwarya aspect, that is the powerful, almighty aspect, he cannot love Krishna. But if he just knows about the sweet and lovable aspect, the Madhurya aspect of Krishna, he might not respect Krishna properly, but make offenses without, by behaving too freely, talking too freely about Krishna. So it's important to know both of the aspects. And as one advances in Krishna consciousness, one aspect will become less and the other will become bigger. But it has to come in a natural way, which is dependent on the purification of the devotee. I want to give you an example of the two aspects in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada told us that during the war time, he was hearing, he was out and eating kachoris, and the Japanese at that time started bombing Calcutta. And Prabhupada remembered Krishna at that time. He thought, also the bombs come from Krishna. And he thought to himself, oh, this is also Krishna, the bombs. It's the universal form of the Lord. But of course, he said, this form was not lovable. You know, you can't love a bomb. But he remembered Krishna as everything coming from Krishna. I think we must open the windows because I saw one devotee falling asleep and we want to save him. I don't tell his name or her name because then it's a little ashamed. But, and Prabhupada very often talked about Krishna and he laughed while he talked. He became animated and he began to show with his hands the different leelas of Krishna. Sometimes also when he would talk about the mercy of Krishna, his voice would choke and he could no longer talk. Very often when he talked about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would just start to cry. For him it was unbelievable how Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. He knew talk about this. Okay, let me now talk a little bit about Krishna in two aspects. First the Aishwarya aspect and then the Madhurya aspect. We all know that the powerful creator of this universe, Lord Brahma, once came into an illusion. He saw how the devatas were worshipping Sri Krishna by throwing flowers at him, and he thought, who is this Krishna? He's just a little boy. And then, in order to test Krishna, and more or less show how he is just a little boy, he stole his cows and cowherd boys and put them in some place in the universe. And he came back and he wanted to see what Krishna did, and we all know, he saw that there were all the cows and cowherd boys that he had just stolen, they were still there because Krishna had expanded himself to the cowherd boys and cows. And Krishna showed this to the foolish Brahma. This is to be respectful to Lord Brahma. By taking the forms of Vishnus from the cowherd boys. In other words, all the expanded cows and cowherd boys expanded before Lord Brahma into innumerable Vishnus. And he saw that, and he saw he had done a real mistake in thinking that Krishna is not God. With his eyes of knowledge, Brahma saw that Krishna had taken all the calves, the forms of all the calves and cowherd boys that he had stolen. And he felt extremely sorry and decided to go to Krishna to beg forgiveness. Now, when Brahma approached Lord Krishna, Krishna decided to teach him another lesson. He wanted to show him, Brahma, you don't know what God is. Now I will show you. And he manifested out of his own transcendental energy a spiritual city which stood before him at Brahma. The Brahma, when he was just about to go to Krishna, saw this spiritual city which was never there before. And he knew Krishna's inside the city and I must go to him. So Krishna in the meantime said and called in his mind many Brahmas, Vishnu, and many Shivas who all came. And when Brahma finally arrived at the first door of the city, he saw that there was an eight-headed Brahma standing at the entrance. He had never seen an eight-headed Brahma. And the Brahma demanded to know, "Who are you?" Brahma was a little unsure, but he said, "I am known as Brahma. I want to see Krishna," as a cowherd boy. When the eight-headed Brahma heard this, he began to laugh uncontrollably. And he says, "I have never heard of a four-headed Brahma. I thought I was the smallest Brahma with my eight heads." "You have requested me that you can enter, but I must tell you, my dear, whoever you are, I cannot decide this because there are more powerful Brahmas in charge. There are other entrances to the city which come behind this one, which are guarded by 16-headed Brahmas, by 1,000-headed Brahmas, and by 1,000,000-headed Brahmas. In theory, you can enter because you seem to be a Brahmana, but it's not so easy. Wait, I will ask the other Brahmas." Became totally worried. "I'm so small. I only have four heads. Then at this moment he saw Anantadev, he who upholds all the planets, coming in his spiritual form, chanting the holy names, and Brahma paid obeisances. So Anantadev looked at him and said, "Who are you?" And Brahma said with tears in his eyes, I'm known as Brahma. I have come to see Krishna. Please show your mercy so that I can see Krishna. You are Anantadev." He started to cry. So Anantadev said, "Can you tell me exactly who you are? Brahma, for you must be knowing there are the usual Brahmas have millions of heads. They are very powerful. They reside in large universes. Who are you? There are so many Brahmas." So Brahma became aware that innumerable Brahmas. "I'm so small. How can I ever know Krishna?" And because he was so perplexed, he fainted. It was too much. He had a nervous breakdown, to be very precise. And when he finally woke up, Anantadev said, "Oh, why are you so troubled? I just asked you who you are. Please give your introduction." Then Brahma thought, and by Krishna's mercy, he had an idea. He said, "Oh, I'm Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras. Do you know me now?" "Oh," said Anantadev, "you are the fortunate father of the four Kumaras." And Brahma thought in his mind, "Oh yes, my only word is because I'm the father of devotees." Just like the wonderful moon is born from the ocean, by my good luck and Krishna's mercy, some devotees have come from me. Otherwise, I would be totally useless. He became very free from pride. This is Krishna's expertise. He wants to always make his devotees free from pride. That's what Krishna always does. I'm so fortunate. And then he said to Ananda, please show me, my Lord. So finally, Brahma came back and said, okay, you can come. And he brought him through the different doors where there were so many Brahmas standing, until finally our little Brahma came to the assembly hall, and he saw thousands of Brahmas standing there. He saw Shivas, he saw Ganesh, he saw Chandras, the moon gods, moon gods, offering all prayers, and it was a wonderful music and a wonderful scene there. And he also saw that there was a throne, but when he tried to recognize who was sitting on the throne and see the Lord of his heart, he only saw light. Because Krishna was covering himself with his divine effulgence, so that Brahma could not see. It's just like a lotus flower, which looks beautiful, is sometimes in the sunlight, then you can't see the lotus flower because it's so full of light. In the same way, Brahma could not see Krishna. He only saw the light was coming. And he saw also, there was also Radharani next to Krishna. But from here, another effulgence came, like the moon. So together, it was the effulgence like thousands of moons and suns which Brahma saw. And there were also Lalita and Vishakha and all the other Sakis. But he could not see them because the effulgence was just blinding him. So Brahma began to tremble. With this awe and reverence, and he prayed to Anantadev, please show me Govinda. I know I'm very offensive. I know I have made a huge apparat by stealing Krishna's beloved coward voice, daring to test him. But you are a devotee. Please beg for the mercy of Lord Krishna. Please beg him forgiveness. And he broke down with tears in his eyes. Then he heard how Krishna said to him, Brahma, you are excused now. He saw how the light was going back. Then he saw Krishna sitting there in his form of Govinda. Next to him, Srimati Radharani, Sakis, fanning him like you can see here, how Pujari does the chamara fanning, how the Sakis were there, and then the Lord saw the beautiful, the cows of Vrindavan, the cows, yes. And he, and then Krishna told him, Brahma, you did an offense, but you will be delivered from this offense, because I bless you that you will take birth when I come as Chaitanya and spread Krishna consciousness to the fallen souls. And when I take birth, you will be known as? Yes, Haridas Thakur, who was, as we all know, the epitome of this tomb, this site of humility. This is a very nice leela which can teach us a few things. That is, that Krishna's personal qualities or personal leela is hidden to those who are proud and who are making offenses against the Lord. Such unfortunate souls can be delivered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as Lord Brahma was totally delivered from his offenses by taking, getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It shows us also that there is no possibility to ever understand Krishna as the Lord of Vrindavan unless and until we are blessed by the devotees of Lord Krishna. Just like Brahma needed someone to help him reach the Supreme Lord, see, and finally have darshan with him, we also need help in this. The mental speculators, the intellectuals, even the theologians and religious people of the world will find it impossible to understand Sri Krishna in his wonderful aspects of Vrindavan Krishna, where he deals with his loving devotees, unless they get the mercy of a pure devotee of Krishna. See, I want to make a little side note, which I think is interesting for our academic preachers. When you talk with professors, they have a lot of respect of Krishna, but they have the respect of Krishna of the Bhagavad Gita, who showed his universal form. They have respect of Krishna as the Aishwarya, the Lord aspect, the Lord of many opulences. But also they cannot understand the Lord of Vrindavan. Many scholars think that Krishna, who spoke the Bhagavad Gita, is different from Krishna, who engages in loving pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan. They cannot imagine that the same person who was giving the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, and who also gave ethical instructions, they can't understand that the same Lord engages in loving pastimes with the gopis and sometimes stealing butter. They can't bring these two forms together. Therefore, in their helplessness, they think, oh, Krishna, who spoke the Gita, is another Krishna than the folklore Krishna, the folk Krishna of the Raj area. Can you understand the difficulty? Because if even Lord Brahma could not see and understand Krishna because of his... if even he, the creator of the world, cannot understand Krishna, how do you think can the Pope understand Krishna? Yeah, Krishna. We speak of Krishna. Krishna is more than God. So people, now let me understand that is more than the concept of God. I will now tell you a story of, or a story sounds like a story, it's not a story, one leela of Krishna in his Madhurya aspect. And you will see how this leela is so wonderful and sweet. You must give me your full attention because it's impossible for me to talk a leela of Krishna to a sleepy audience. Please do your best. The leela will, I can explain it only as good as you are awake. Hare Krishna. So, one day, Mother Yashoda happily placed cloth and ornaments in the box. It was early morning and she was singing nice songs. She's very happily placing so many nice things in the box. Like you can imagine, many of you have given me such wonderful presents. Unfortunately, they are still covered. I have not found time to see. Only I saw one present of Kamalakanta, it was a big brick like this. And it had a symbolical meaning, it's a brick, so a wonderful project. I also got the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the book I have been praying for many years, and now I have it from one devotee. So many, but Yashoda was totally in ecstasy, preparing a gift box, a big box. Then little Krishna came in and said, "Mother, why are you packing this box?" Yashoda said, secret. "You go and play. Mother has to pack the box now." But Krishna said, "No, Mother, I want to know why you are packing this box." Mother Yashoda knew that Krishna was stubborn. There was no way to send him out. He had to give an explanation. He said, "I'm packing these sandalwood sticks. I'm packing all these jewel pollen lotus. I'm putting the kumkum here. I'm putting some bodily ointment, some earrings I'm putting, and some gems also." Krishna asked, "Is it for me or for Balaram?" Yashoda said, "I've explained now how I packed the box. I will also pack you a box and Balaram a box, but now go and play." And Krishna said, "Ma, tell me for whom is this? I will not tell it to anyone. Please, Ma." And then Yashoda got tears of love in her eyes and said, "Listen, because you will not go and play if your mother doesn't tell you whom this box is, I will just play the box." "Just as Providence has bestowed you upon me as a result of my austerities, there is one daughter in Raj who's the medicine of my life. I'm packing the box for her. You must know about this one daughter, Kanhai. Brahma has created many feminine qualities like beauty, virtuous behavior, devotion, shyness, simplicity, and humility. These are the feminine qualities which Brahma has created. And ordinary girls are happy if they can take shelter of these qualities. But this girl for whom I'm packing this box is so special that the qualities become beautiful by taking shelter of her." Krishna was getting a Gänsehaut, a goosebumps of ecstasy. He said, "But Ma, tell me, who is this girl? Tell me the name." Yashoda. "This girl is so wonderful." And she started praising, and then she said, this is how she said. So when Krishna heard about Srimati Radharani, he became so ecstatic that he had to momentarily cover himself with a cloth so that Mother Yashoda would not see his ecstasy. And then he asked more, "But Mother, who is exactly Radha?" As if he didn't know. And Yashoda began praising. "It's difficult to explain something about Radha, but by her effulgence, she makes the sun more effulgent. This is how special she is." Do you understand? She is the personified austerity of her father Vrishabhanu, who did so many austerities to get such a daughter. And she lives in a palace which her father built her in Yavat. She's the daughter of Vrishabhanu, but in Yavat she is known as the wife of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is the son of Yatila. Oh, said Krishna. Yes? Then, Yashoda said, and my dear son, now Abhimanyu is with Nanda, your father, and they talk about house, I think. And soon he will come here and pay his obeisances to me, and then I will give him the box and he will bring it to Radha. Yashoda was gleaming with ecstasy. I think you can all understand that you give a present to some very dear person while you pack it and wrap it. And I put this here and that, and he likes this. Some sweet I will put also. And you become totally in ecstasy. So at this moment, Rangana and Tankana came. Who is Rangana and Tankana? They came on the dog. And one female servant came to Yashoda, who was explaining to the little son, oh, Rangana and Tankana are there. Oh, said Yashoda, stay here, and then just to be sure, she called Danishta and said, stay with Krishna here, where the box is. You know, just wash the box. One never knows. And I have to go now to Rangana and Tankana. She went to the door, and there were the two, there were goldsmiths of Krishna's ornaments. Krishna has many ornaments. Draupadi, your gold ornaments? Did you? Please show us them. Oh, please give me one. You will get it there. We must understand this, Leela. You really will get it back. Oh, is it difficult to separate? Is it so? So, but this is very ordinary. These are the two goldsmiths of Krishna. Yashoda came to discuss the gold ornaments of Krishna because she wanted new gold ornaments like this for the hands. But much nicer. I thought it was nicer to me. I'm sorry. Danishna will return them to you. No, not now. Later. Yeah. And she also wanted that Krishna gets a new golden crown, and they were discussing it in all details. Now, in the meantime, Krishna was there with the box, and he said to Danishta, Danishta, I want to make a special leela. He said, what is it? Krishna says, starting to laugh like anything. So very quickly Krishna took all the things out from this box and put it into another box and gave that box to Danishta. And then he went into the original box and he closed the lid. So Yashoda came back And then a little later, Abhimanyu came. Abhimanyu was paying a humble obeisance to the Yashoda. Abhimanyu is not very intelligent. He came and Yashoda said, "Here is this wonderful box. I'm giving you the most wonderful thing. Carry it to your wife Srimati Radharani and then repeat the following message to her." Now I have to read this message which Yashoda Ma gave. This is the message. "O you who gives pleasure to my eyes, O you who bestows fame and glory upon Kirtida," that's the mother of Radharani, "O Radhe, within this box I have sent you an extremely brilliant jewel and display. It consists of ornaments just befitting your body. And I am sure that you will cherish them to the utmost. By all of those dear things, may you become radiantly decorated every day, thus achieving great fortune and happiness. May you become enthused with newer life forever and ever." This, Abhimanyu, is the message which you have to give to Raya. And he was very happy. "Oh, there's so much gold and so many jewels inside. And then my wife will get them and I can buy many cows and calves and everything. And in this way, we can increase the glories of my dynasty forever." Little did he know. So when Krishna traveled in the box, he was in total ecstasy. It is described that he threw himself into an ocean of happiness. Can you imagine an ocean of happiness? You can maybe imagine a temple room of happiness, but an ocean of happiness is not possible to imagine. So Krishna was so happy, and he smiled mischievously all the time. Then he made himself a little bit more heavy than Abhimanyu was going to say. But he was very happy also, because he thought, "I have so many heavy jewels." Extremely heavy. I will buy millions of cows. Very good. This weight is no problem. The reason why Abhimanyu was also happy is because Krishna is Santarananda, that is concentrated bliss, and Abhimanyu felt that also. So in the meantime, Radharani was staying in her in-laws, in her chamber, and she was very sorry. She said, "This dreadful abode is pervaded only with utmost misery. I'm so miserable here in those Yavas." And then, all of a sudden, she became amazed. "But why is my left arm and my eyelid and even my leg, why is it quivering? This is an auspicious sign." I don't know the Matajis, sometimes your left arm is quivering, the left eye and the left leg. Yes, sometimes it happens. When it happens, when some blissful idea comes, it's the right side which starts to move. And sometimes it happens. Usually I have it before Vyasa Puja. Usually. So So Radharani was analyzing, I'm here in hell, in Yavat, I'm separated from Krishna, but why this auspicious sign is there? I can't play that. And then Lalita said, I'm thinking that soon you will get the Manohara ornament. Now Manohara is the name of Krishna, but it is also a special ornament. I don't know what Lalita had in mind, but she's extremely talented. She knows everything, knows more or less. So then Abhimanyu came, and he was sweating and being blissful, and he says, my dear wife, I have brought this box from Yashoda. Where do you want to open it? Some hope came in her mind. And she was explaining, why don't you bring it in my inner room? There I'm with all my sakis. And there I will look and open the box. He brought it in the inner room. Now, you can imagine the inner room of Radha is a room where they are very, where she moves very freely. Ordinarily, she is extremely shy. That she does always cover her head when she is outside of her room, and she is very shy. She does not look at anyone. This is very, but extremely beautiful. It's the queen of Vrindavan. But in her inner room, she's behaving very freely. I think we can imagine women, cultured women, are also, when they are in the public, they are a little careful how to move, and still aristocratic, and so on. It's not for everyone. But when they are in their own room, they dress differently, they behave differently, they laugh and giggle with their friends and are very affectionate and so on. But when they're outside, be different. So Radharani was in her inner quarters with all her friends, dressed in a private style and so on and so forth. And this box came. Boom! And Abhimanyu, I'm going. I think I said it wrong. He did not come in the inner chambers. Even Abhimanyu cannot go there. It's just very private, very, very, very divine, very exalted. The satis were carrying the box inside the private chambers into a little podest which was there. Now, while they were. Then they started to talk. What could be in the box? I don't know, said Radha. But everything is so auspicious. I can't understand. And at this moment, the box which had a knot was thrown open. And Krishna jumped out of the box. And suddenly the lid opened, and then all the sakis looked at Krishna, who was now in the private chambers, and they were totally amazed. And then from Krishna's transcendental body, waves of Cupid was felt. The invisible presence of the god of love was immediately felt by everyone. And Krishna began to began to expand in many forms and embraced all the gopis. Like he did where? In the Rasa dance, yes, where, he expanded in so many forms as there were gopis. And the gopis were just laughing and laughing and it was just so much laughter was there. Krishna was laughing and perspiration of ecstasy came on his head, his head, and so on and so forth. Then Lalita repeated the message of Yashoda. She said, I have a message here. And she got the message out and said, oh you who gives pleasure to my eyes. This is a message of Yashoda. Oh you who bestows fame and glory upon Kirtita. Oh Radhe, within this box I have sent you an extremely brilliant display. It consists of ornaments just befitting your body, and I am sure that you will cherish them to the utmost. By all of these dear things, may you become radiantly decorated every day, thus achieving great fortune and happiness. May you become infused with newer life forever and ever. Radharani was just in total ecstasy, but now comes her special nature. To give more pleasure to Krishna, she took the mood of the mood of becoming angry with Krishna. Rascal! She said, you have done something with this box. This is the box of Yashoda. It was full of valuable things. And what have you done? You have stolen the things yourself, kept them for yourself, and you have somehow come here in the house of a married woman. Are you not ashamed? But Krishna said, no, you see it wrongly. Listen, what is the real truth about it? I was innocently playing. And then I saw this box, which was very fragrant. And I became fascinated. I wanted to make the fragrant smell of the box on my body. So I went inside the body, inside the box, so that I would smell nicely. But then your rascal husband came, closed the box, and kidnapped me. This is the real story. This is the real explanation. And then Krishna said to all of the Gopisakis, you judge now. If Radha and her husband is at fault, I will punish them. And if I am at fault, I will be Radharani's prisoner for 3 nights. So all the gopis started to laugh, and they associated together. And this day, the Leela came to a happy, joyous conclusion. This is a Madhurya Leela, which the big religionists and the big theologians can only know if they get the mercy of a pure devotee, because this area, the Leela which I have just explained to you or told you, this area is so confidential, it is so private, it is so full of transcendental ecstasies and fun for players, that one needs to gain entrance in this. Otherwise one can never go there. This is this realm is covered. Krishna is covering himself. This is Brahman effulgence. It is his powerful energies on which everything is resting. Yes, Krishna is the origin of all the energies which manifest everything. Krishna is the origin of the Brahman. And Krishna is also the origin of Paramatma. In fact, he is Brahman, and he is Paramatma. and he is also the Vishwarup, the powerful material form in which everything is. But privately, or the most confidential aspect of Krishna, is that transcendental cowherd boy who engages in loving pastimes with his devotees. I personally find this aspect of Krishna very appealing also for us here in the material world, because in this aspect Krishna is showing how much he loves his devotees. Isn't that important for all of us to know that Krishna loves us? Krishna's name is Bhakta Priya. That means he who is extremely dear to the devotee. And his name is Bhakta Vatsala. He who cares for his devotees, even the ones in the material world. As we have heard today, to show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai! Sri Bhakta Vatsala ki jai! Sri Bhakta Priya ki jai! Go Premanandiya! I have come to the end of this of my class. I want to see now if you have any questions regarding this subject first, and then regarding other subjects. Let us remember that this may be our last opportunity where we meet in this larger group. I understand that some of you are staying here for speaking with me. So it's also my life. I thought at the last, I said to Shrishtikata this morning, what should I lecture about, Shrishtikata? And he didn't have an answer immediately. So then I took out my lecture, which I had prepared. I prepared three lectures very intensely, and one is about the spiritual master, but it's such a heavy philosophical lecture that I somehow thought it will be very difficult to absorb all this, and we have heard so much philosophy by now. So then I decided to talk about Krishna, and I'm very happy that I did it, because remember, we have met together by the arrangement of Krishna, and our association is to come to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the purpose of our relationship. Our relationship has a purpose. So, yes, are there any questions? Nita Pada Kamala.
The microphone.
Where is the microphone? Oh, yeah. I would say if you can be here and look from here, all this, then you can see it.
Is there some way how to explain to somebody when he is asking about Krishna that he is the origin of all, but he has no origin?
The way to explain it, it is just have to say this and maybe give an example. You can ask the famous question. This is now become back from the Leela level. We go now to the other level. You hope you went with me in my the elevator, was it down or later? sorry, I And you should ask, well, there is this famous question, which was first, the hen or the egg? Because also a hen has to come from an egg, right? What was first? But then who laid the egg from which the hen came? This is the, in this way, people are asking, who is the, or Krishna is the origin of everything, but who is the origin of Krishna? And I think you just have to say, he's so wonderful, he is where these questions stop. He is the origin of all possible other origins. How to explain this? Well, chant Hare Krishna and make you and become a devotee and go through the blood, sweat and tears of the sadhana, become purified, and then you can make a transcendental revelation. That's really the way. Gadadhar, you are our scientific man. Is there a way to explain how something is the origin of origins? Is there something in natural sciences which can compare to this?
I also cannot give an explanation. Maybe one has to show or tell them that why everything has to have an origin. Like, why shouldn't there be something which has no origin? And of course, in natural science, there are examples of things which have no cause, where actually this law of cause and effect, where it is not applicable. And this is because this law of cause and effect, it's applicable in all the everything which we perceive. But in those aspects we cannot perceive, this can be proved, this law is just not applicable. So why should Krishna, who is not in the world of our direct experience, should be under this law?
Yeah. So you have to get from Gadadhar an example which will be extremely theoretical. You have to have your pen ready. Something in this world which doesn't fall under the usual law of cause and effect. There are things, apparently, which don't fall under the usual law. So why is it fall?
Since we're discussing rationalism, I have a question which came.
Since we discussed what?
Rationalism,
yes.
I have a question that came to my mind, and I was also asked, but I couldn't answer it properly. And I've also read that some Vaishnavas are disputing about this question. Is this Brahma Vimohana Lila and the mystery of Brahma getting bewildered, although he is a great acharya? And he's actually witnessing this lila's every day of his life. So I was asking, I couldn't answer. Also, how is this Brahma? He was also promised in the third canto, he won't get bewildered. The promise of, in the process of creation.
Krishna promised him, yes.
Supposedly bewildered, but apparently it looks that he got bewildered. And some acharyas say he did not get bewildered. And,
yes, the safest way to understand the bewilderment of Brahma and also great devotees is explained by Srila Prabhupada in reference to Arjuna. Arjuna was apparently bewildered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and it is explained that the Lord personally put him into this bewilderment, because he needed someone to explain the Bhagavad Gita to, who was his devotee, his dear devotee. But it was a momentary bewilderment put by the Lord. So we can also assume that, so that Krishna could display his transcendental pastimes, he put Lord Brahma and the bewilderment of this Yoga Maya potency. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Need another priya, then Gaura Chandra.
If religionists and theologians cannot understand the second aspect of Krishna, that that means the Krishna is the friend of the gopis. Is it better then for a beginner not to speak with them? Or don't they come to the contact with a pure devotee when they read Srila Prabhupada's books?
See, Srila Prabhupada was not explaining Krishna Leela in public in great detail, because he knew that even his disciples would not understand. I personally also have know many devotees, young devotees, who tell me they cannot understand Krishna of Vrindavan, but prefer Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Yes, great devotees will never talk in public about Krishna Leela in great detail, because some people will make offense. But today I wanted to explain the two aspects of Krishna and show Krishna Leela, which I think everyone enjoys. It's fun, yes. That's what Krishna does. Fun. That you can see, for instance, many artists who paint Radha and Krishna Leela, they put some lusty vibration in the picture. It's not very nice.
Yesterday evening or late night, we discussed a few devotees in regard to Madhya Parikrama, and this was very hurting for us when we came back. To the best that the devotees were interested to listen to the experiences, hear about Krishna, as we have heard in Holy Dham. So, could you give us some advice? Maybe first talk about this today, and maybe second, and how can we enhance the ability to speak amongst ourselves about Krishna.
I would say there is a general law of communication. You like to hear something from the person whom you like. When a person hears about Krishna Leela, a person is only ready to hear something from a person he likes. Therefore, Krishna Leela is discussed also amongst friends. It is not that you can come and just tell to anyone. If the person, if you don't have a deep relationship with the person, he will not, maybe not be ready to hear. It has, in other words, something to do with general laws of communication. Now, but there's also another aspect to your question. It is a fact that some of us are not yet able to, or are not, they have not really found a deep taste in hearing us and reading the Krishna book, for instance, where the Krishna Leelas are explained. And that is because they have maybe not thought so much about their picture of God, Goddess spirit. I have once read some very nice article by Satsvarup Maharaj, and he was explaining how it was so difficult for him to read the Krishna book at the beginning of his, or even later in his spiritual life, and because he thought these are just nice stories. He could not see any practical value for him in reading Krishna book. But he thought, well, I better read How I Am Not the Body. This is very practical for me, and so on. And this is how Maharaj describes. Then later, he said he felt sorry. After all, I'm in the Krishna movement. I should know about Krishna. And Prabhupada has written the Krishna book because he wanted to make sure that even if he would not be able to come to the 10th canto and or finish the 10th canto, a fear which was justified, he left before, that we devotees would get the personal pastimes of Krishna from a pure devotee. So Sarasvarup Maharaj knew this, and therefore he felt, I must know about Krishna, and he started to read Krishna book and give seminars. That is later. Then now I can tell you, he likes Krishna Leela like anything. Yes, we are. As he has said in his his introduction to the book, that we are friends, and I can tell you, I'm friends. He likes Krishna Leela like anything. Yes. Krishna book is maybe his favorite book. I don't know. I have not spoken. Many times, this was in the past, Krishna Leela was sometimes misused. There was a terrible thing in the past of our movement where some devotees wanted to show how they know more than anyone and more than everyone, and they started to tell it like this. And maybe this contamination is also there in the younger devotees. Oh, we are from Vrindavan. We like Vrindavan. Now we will tell you the nectar. This is not. I'm not saying it is. I know it's not in you, this contamination, but I'm just saying in general this may sometimes be there. It happened in the past in our movement, and it became such an unpleasant.
You were talking about these two aspects of Krishna, Madhurya and Aishwarya aspect. And then you also said that those who do not know about the Madhurya aspect, they cannot love Krishna actually. Does it mean that outside the Krishna consciousness movement there cannot be love of God? And what about the Vaikuntha?
Krishna is different from God. Outside the Krishna consciousness movement, I would say outside the Gaudiya tradition, there is not bona fide information about Krishna, because the other traditions don't worship Krishna. This is done by the Gaudiyas. But love of God can be there. But this is so clear. We have this almost in every second lecture. It is discussed. I think you remember, of course, there's love of God. They have love for Lord Narayan, and then they go back to Lord Narayan. Wonderful. Now I will say, because it is Sunday morning, or it feels like Sunday morning, so I will speak some Bible now. There are many apartments in my father's house. Maybe he knew about Krishna. He thought one apartment is the Vaikuntha apartment, then another apartment is the Christian heaven, then another apartment, the apartment of the Muslims. Some Draupadi, what is the Muslim heaven? The what? Janet. Yeah, is she telling the correct? Wie sagt man das, Barbara?
Jenna.
So the Jenna. It's also there. It's also an apartment in Krishna's wonderful house. And we are going to be here. Then there are so many apartments. And anyone who develops love of God in the Muslim way, in the Hindu way, in the Christian way, will go to their specific apartment.
So you just talked about Sarasvarup Maharaj and his way to develop this affection for Krishna. Do you think it's helpful to, like, he did train ourselves in reading the Krishna book?
Oh, yes. Very good. You should read the Krishna book. It's so nice, you will like it. It's
Written for devotees like you. Net of devotion is also very nice. Brajamani, because we are chanting.
Maybe some secret tips about the points how to preach to these intellectualists who are perceiving Krishna only on this intellectual mental level. How to help them to cross this line between intellectual perceiving and devotional perceiving Krishna.
Intellectuals need a very philosophical presentation of Krishna consciousness. And for that we have to learn our philosophy well. The Bhagavad Gita has very, very nice philosophical points. And then present this. The quality of our presentation will determine what type of people we attract to Krishna consciousness. And then it may be necessary to present it in a certain language. I was becoming aware of this when I gave a lecture in Göttingen one time in a theater, and there were many students. And after my lecture, I saw how Gadadha and Bhakta Niels and also Sadanandi were talking to the students. They had many students around themselves, and they talked just like students, because they know a certain language, a certain atmosphere comes up, which I fear terribly, you know. For my past, I had to have a very good relationship to the school, and all this, and they talked, and I saw how a very vivid communication was there. Or if Jayadev comes to the Rainbow Festival and starts to talk, you know, it really is, everyone can understand it like anything. I remember it was one time we went to one Rainbow Festival in Germany. We also went to one in Slovenia. It was at the most sacred night of the rainbow people, the full moon night, where they put a huge fire, and everyone put a big piece of wood representing one of their anattas into the fire. Nice, isn't it? Someone put his greed into the fire and so on. And then everyone had to be silent. That was the law. No one was supposed to say anything. But music was allowed. So then I immediately knew that I'm too old for these people. You know, and I turned to Jayadev and said, can you sing the right melody for these people so that they can all sing? And then Jayadev sang a mixture of a raga and of rock and roll. Yeah, because he knows the language of these people. He's empowered. And then they all danced and they started to jump over the fire.